You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. You're having a good day. And worked on the details of going to Hawaii. Yeah, going to Hawaii. And so, no, I'm excited. They're excited. So, again, the changing face of post-traumatic winning, as, you know, some dad is associated after a year with the program. And now, hopefully having a chance to spread that and going to get around the Pacific a little bit, which is going to be interesting and exciting. As I've said before, I've never been to Hawaii. You should hear, yeah. So when I talk to the people that are there, you should hear their reaction. What? I said, yeah, your phone's not malfunctioning. I've never been to Hawaii. They're like, are you kidding me? Everybody's been to Hawaii. I said, yeah, not me. I've been other places. I haven't been to Hawaii. Yeah. Yeah, I've been to Tucson, okay, but I haven't been to Hawaii. The, so anyway, no, I was talking to people out at Hickam Pearl Harbor, and they evidently have a kind of a joint command out there, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, at least in some on a couple of those bases. So anyway, gonna head out there and speak to a commander's conference and do some other stuff. So and attend some stuff too, which I'm excited about doing. So anyhow, so excited about that. And then excited about next week, which is with the Clark County Fire Department. And excited about doing that, going up to Las Vegas on Sunday. And I'll go up there, in the afternoon or sometime. Got to get there in time for the Super Bowl, though, right? Right. So I'll go do that. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, do that. And then next, I come back Thursday. Thursday night, the Marine Corps Association is having its dinner out at Camp Pendleton in association with the Marine Corps West Expo that'll go on Thursday and Friday at Camp Pendleton. So, and then on Friday, I'm going to present a version of post-traumatic winning at the Marine Corps West Expo. But I think what I want to do is, you know, there's enough commanders now and their spouses in the area, commanders and individual Marines that have experienced it, right? I'm fired up about kind of doing an overview of what post-traumatic winning is, and then, you know, kind of a Q&A or, you know, other people that have been exposed to it and the effect it's had on them. So I think that would be pretty cool to do. Here's a text message. Hawaii rules. No way, dog. I love Hawaii. Good for you. Staying at the Halekoa? Unreal. I don't know. Yeah, I'm like, they were asking me about lodging, right? Well, you know, we have, and I said, look, I mean, the bar is relatively low for lodging, okay? I've lived in Iraq. I've lived in Afghanistan, right? I've stayed in the shitholes, right? And I said, look, and this is, so I'm talking to Air Force people. I said, what do Air Force people love about Marines? Our accommodations are normally so shitty that whatever you guys give us is awesome, right? And she starts laughing. She said, I noticed you spoke at the Air Force Academy. I said, I have. She said, did you stay in the VIP quarters there? I said, I did. And she starts laughing. I'm like, yeah, hello? VIP quarters at the Air Force Academy. That's a 3-room suite, man. It was beautiful. And not pronounced like bra. Holy shit. Halekoa. Fix yourself. He doesn't use the F word. Yeah. It's part of his deal. I don't know why. He does when he gets angry and semi loses composure. And he would straight up bust out friggin' on me. And I just look at him and say, don't disrespect the F word like that. Okay, either say it or don't say it, but don't go halfway on that. No half measures on the F word. I've never been. Never been to Hawaii. So but, you know, I mean, to me, I mean, like, Hawaii's cool and all that. Like, I've lived 62 years on the planet. Actually, 61 complete and a month, almost 2 months, on the planet without going. So, like, it's not like it's a requirement. But what's, to me, really exciting is, you know, how excited other people are to hear the message that post-traumatic winning puts out. And it's a message, and again, the more information I get, and the more I study, and I think that post-traumatic winning is a pragmatic, everyday solution for 99% of the issues that we confront. And let me tell you why. Because, I said this yesterday, I'll echo it again today because it's still in my head, and that is this: most of us don't realize how fucked up the upbringing of a lot of young people is today. We just don't. We don't. And when you start looking at how life has changed, right? You know, relatively few stay-at-home moms. So that means when they're little, for 8 hours a day, they're going to daycare, right? man, they're hanging out with strangers, and that pool of strangers changes. And I say strangers are little kids, right, that they play with, right? And they're kept amused all day. But again, you know, you can't pay somebody enough money to love your kid. You know, it just doesn't happen. So that's different, right? They, you know, they feast on electronic devices, which means they don't relate to other people. The American family has changed, right? Way more divorce. And then, you know, in the course of their young lifetime, you know, maybe somebody else moves into the house and then moves out. Maybe somebody else then moves into the house and then moves out. So they have that turbulence. And then maybe that person has kids. And so they're a quote-unquote blended family, right? And then not allowed to fail, you know, don't do adversity, don't do discipline. And so that's the world that they live in. And so to me, you know, the great epiphany for a lot of us, especially those of us that are older, is that their view of the world, their view of adversity, their view of trauma is totally different than the view that I grew up with, where Kathleen, you know, was home every day of my life. Came home, got out of my uniform, put on my jeans and a t-shirt and my tennis shoes and got on my bike with my glove or whatever, and I left my house. So to me, what post-traumatic winning is, it is that pragmatic solution that you can execute today. And so to me, the more I learn of it, the more I see the rightness of it, which again makes me, you know, chest thumping proud, you know. And as somebody said to me, you've seen this stuff, right? Because I said, no, I haven't seen any of this. I haven't seen any of this research. And I said, look, I've got a 16-year-old daughter, man. My observations come from my life. I mean, all of post-traumatic winning is not PhD-driven research. It's given to me by Marine. That's what it is. Nothing more. I'm like, wow. No, I said, again, it goes back to keeping your head in the game. Advice I got when I was a little guy from my dad, right? Pay attention. Look for the subtleties, right? And if you do that, you can be two steps ahead, which is important when you're not really fast. If you can pick up a step or two, you can be good. You know, you can be good until it's a straight up foot race, and then you're going to lose. But you know, if you could cheat two steps, you know, and you know, and again, I've done that my whole life. I would tell you that, you know, the guys that I served with in Afghanistan, the whole reason Kyle Carpenter's alive is head in the game, you know, look for shortcuts, find ways to cut time. And they did something very pragmatic, which was go over and talk to the helicopters at our dust off, right, medevac squadron, and say, hey, when we get a medevac in this area, and, you know, draw it on the map, that you're probably going to get sourced for, would you be willing, as soon as we see it in, like, the company window to the battalion, that we'll shoot you a message, would you be willing to go turn at that time, knowing that you're probably not going to get sourced for another 10 minutes or 15 minutes? And the answer was hell yeah, we will. You know, if that's going to save somebody's life, hell yeah, we will. So, but again, that's all, you know, they had the same mentality of head in the game, right, you know, and what makes sense, and why don't we have a solution to this, and we're asking for this, but we're not telling them all the intervening steps. So anyway, so I mean, to me, that's exciting about, you know, about the possibility of turning all this destructive behavior around. So, and throwing a trip to Hawaii to boot, and maybe Alaska, and Korea, and Japan. Yeah, Mac, get your passport out, baby. And trust me, I'm going to blow that shit up in Hawaii. Now, because it's cool now, because a lot of times people have heard stuff about it, you know. And the presentation is I think it's great. And it gets better over time as, you know, I add more, you know, what I call precision-guided munitions to it. So, and it's fun because it is, without a doubt, it is a choreographed ambush on everybody who attends. They don't want to be there, and the presentation's funny, and it is in its own way traumatic because there's things in that presentation that they're not going to forget. They're going to see some, they're going to hear some, and none of it comes from traditional, you know, ways they've seen it, and then to see the effect, and then to see them put it in practice. So, as I always say, it's cool on top of cool on top of cool on top of cool. So, fired up to do that. And I had somebody contact me, 2 days ago, asking would I be willing to do it at a Native American on a reservation. I said, I would love to. You know, living in North Dakota, no stranger to the problems that go on reservations across the country, the alcoholism that is rampant on those, and some of the other just horrible crime. And so, and again, I've always said, it's not a military thing. It's not a military thing. It could have come from, if I'd interviewed firefighters, I'm sure I would have learned the same lessons. If I would have talked about those issues, right? If I would have talked to victims of domestic violence or victims of sexual assault, I would have come away with the same conclusions that I came away from people who simply received their trauma, maybe in the Marine Corps, maybe, you know, in their personal life, but, you know, Marines who've come on All Marine Radio and shared their story, so... interesting. So no, pretty exciting. Where else am I going? I'm going to Colorado here, in February. I'm going to go to the Space Force in Colorado. Yeah. Space Force. Right. Yeah. So yeah. And I'm going to come back with some Space Force, right, memorabilia. Yeah, I want a T-shirt. I want a Space Force T-shirt. So I'm geeked about that. And then, where the hell else am I going? I'll give you the right now where I know. Where am I going? I'm going to Orlando, Florida, in February. Never been to Orlando. That's another Air Force event. And then in March, I go to Mississippi to Keesler Air Force Base. I'm fired up about that. And then in April is when I go to Hawaii. Right at the end of March, I go to Hawaii. And then I go back to Quantico for the Cornerstone Conference, and then possibly to Oklahoma to the Senior Enlisted Advisor Conference there for the National Guard. So, dance card, right? Hello. So it's exciting stuff, and you know, and every day seems to bring something, another opportunity, which I hope leads to ultimately what I believe post-traumatic winning should be, which is a privately funded organization that is that offers this wisdom to anybody for free. And that the private, the corporate sponsors or private sponsors, whatever they may be, whatever form that takes, would pay the bills to spread, right, this gospel full of hope, this gospel full of wisdom, right? That whose audience is 99% of the people that are struggling out there. Exciting stuff. So, we'll get the program going. The United States Marine Corps Band is, I screwed up the Lynch Kinney event, and so it did not save when we recorded something last night. So you will be hearing a best of edition. And the interview you're going to hear is, actually you're going to hear two of them. You're going to hear back to back, you'll hear, what I'll do is you'll hear all three of them. You'll hear, so if you're sitting at work today, right, you're going to hear three interviews back to back. You're going to hear, and they're all going to be about, they're the On Discipline series. You're going to hear General Van Riper, you're going to hear General Mattis, and you're going to hear General Zinni. So you're gonna hear a little bit of best of edition today. And then the chef will join me tomorrow. And then next week you'll hear Grant Newsham, you'll hear Mark Cancion giving his thoughts about the Marine Corps, you know, rumored becoming light and littoral, blah, 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 blah. And you'll hear his warning to the Marine Corps. So anyway, you'll hear that next week. I think you'll hear Alex Hollings. Not sure about that yet. And then there's some other stuff I'm working on. So anyway, good morning to you on the 30th of January, right? One more day in January, and then we're into February. So good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps Band makes today official. This is dedicated to my new friends in Hawaii who have been incredibly gracious and very flattering in terms of wanting to get me and post-traumatic winning out there. And I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to it and to helping them take on a problem that they've been struggling with and that they can take it on this afternoon. And so pretty exciting stuff. So this is dedicated to my new friends in Hawaii.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country, we care about what happens to everyone. brain that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time for us to do the weather here on a Thursday around Marineland. It's cold on the East Coast, cloudy, 36 degrees at Quantico, clouds at 48 at Camp Lejeune. 29 Palms reports sunny and 55, so they're warming up. Camp Pendleton, sun and 55. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark, cloudy, 65. Okinawa, colder, man. Dark, cloudy, and 55 in Okinawa. Lashkar Gah continues to be cold in the Helmand province of Afghanistan. Clear, dark, and 44. And in Ramadi, kind of the same as it was yesterday, clear, dark, and 55. At the home of All Marine Radio, partly cloudy and 58. Looking for a high of 73 today. On Friday, 81. On Saturday, 78. Yeah, that's why they call it California, right? And not Antarctica. You didn't know that, did you? Yeah, well, that's the way that works, okay? We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll check some news headlines as we head towards more of All Marine Radio on a Thursday right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hundreds of thousands of veterans have taken off their uniforms and put them away, carefully packed and safely stowed. But for some veterans, the uniform isn't so easily removed. The emotions experienced while serving continue to weigh on them. Life after service is different. Many veterans find transitioning difficult, and daily life is no longer as enjoyable as it once was. Some feel overwhelmed and lost. But that uncertainty doesn't take away from their strength and courage, nor does it take away from the sense of duty veterans carry with them. The transition from service is different for everyone. If you are a veteran going through a difficult time, or know one who is, the power of one person, one connection, one act of compassion can make a difference. For free 24/7 confidential support, call the Veterans Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Or visit veteranscrisisline.net.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I have to do shithole weather. Here's a couple of emails. Who hasn't been to Hawaii? I mean, come on, a lot of people. All you Hawaii snobs, like, knock it off, all right? Oh, like, you're cool because you've done something that everybody else has done? That doesn't make you cool. Hell, Chris goes to Hawaii and loses weight. This is a great song, by the way. If you've never seen the video, B.B. King, he was a big dude, right? Playing with U2. Sweating his ass off, right? But ripping the shit out of it. It's a great song, by the way. Here's another one. You haven't been to Hawaii? Like, enough already. No, I haven't been to Hawaii. Like, okay, so you got a skateboard. Everybody's got a skateboard. Knock it off. Yeah, everybody settle down and listen to B.B. King. Called When Love Comes to Town. Bono's smart enough to get out of his way and stay in the back and sing yay, yay, yay. From Nancy, hi Mac, meeting today. But here's the charter school picture. Be well. What? Hi, Mac, I'm not going to give you my forecast? Unbelievable, Nancy. Good morning from Churchbridge, from Bev. Currently overcast. Winds out of the south to east at 11. 19 above in Churchbridge. Now, Montana man, he's got a... The guy who urinates outside of his door, if you missed that part of the interview the other day, go ahead and listen to that. Right. Montana man, just clueless. And he says it on the air. Like, he's making all this noise, and finally I said, hey, stop! And he says, I had to go take a leak. Right? like, what? Okay, like, you can do that stuff, but you're not supposed to, like, you don't announce it to the world that you're a hick. Yeah. In Churchbridge in Saskatchewan, north of North Dakota, right? Currently overcast. 19 above. Windchill sits at 9 above, which is good for the afternoon. Scattered flurries. Winds out of the southwest at 9, which is always good for them. Looking for a high of 23 that'll feel like 14 above. And here's a picture. This is my grade 4. The Canadians, that's how they say. Like we in the United States, we say, yeah, that's my fourth grade picture. In Canada, they don't say it like that. Yeah, that's my grade 12 picture. Oh, you mean your senior picture in high school? Yeah, grade 12. Seated in the front row, second from the left, sits Kevin Kaminsky, now 50. Kevin played with the Washington Capitals from 1993 to 97, started his coaching career in 1999. He hosted an August charity golf tournament that has for over 23 years given $420 million to our community local youth organizer. I mean, that's a pretty, pretty substantial gift, right? However, it's not true. I got a text message at 7:47. January 30th, Churchbridge weather email should read 420,000, not 420 million. Damn it, Bev. So anyway, yeah, GoPro Films, right? The one and only Chris Cox. He was late this morning. Shithole weather is Oscar Mike. Current position, Bullock Lodge Cider House, Wachusett Mountain Ski Area. Bullock Lodge was built by the Civilian Conservation Corps in the 1930s. Current conditions, 11 above, looking for a high of 33 above, late in the day, 1500. Why we're talking military time, I don't know. Northwest wind steady at 8, gusting to 22. Not a cloud in the sky on the 40-mile drive. Chris from Webster out. And then he updates his current situation. He was skiing yesterday. He ate it. He's got a picture of his ugly mug with a couple of good scratches on it. The mountain won. Chris versus the mountain. The mountain won this run. Got hauled off the hill, strapped to a ski patrol stretcher. What? Tell me it isn't so. You loser. Come on, you're supposed to drag your sorry ass up and not have to be drug off the utter humiliation. I hope you covered your face, man. Hope you covered your face. From Vacaville, good morning. Today's weather in beautiful Vacaville, 52 degrees, cloudy. Winds will be 7 to 12 out of the north-northwest. Looking for a high of 71 in Vacaville. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Right? Again, from the guy who hates Chris, Dave in Vacaville, doesn't Chris ever work? No. I mean, look, he's been on vacation for 2 weeks. He came home, and then I think he took more vacation time to recover from his vacation, and then he got injured on his recovery vacation. That's how that shit works. If I remember, my last conversation with him. He said, just so you know, I'm not going straight to work when I get home. I've got a little recovery time from my vacation. And then he piles his ass. He piles his ass into a tree or some crazy shit. And he's got to get taken off the hill on a stretcher. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. You think you've seen it all, right? You think you've seen it all. And you haven't. I was corresponding with. I've been pinging F-18 man, right? And as he's followed kind of the Kobe Bryant investigation to see if he's, you know, can give us an update. He said, not yet. Not yet. Again, there's some more information out, but to try to understand what happened. But, you know, to me, even as a novice, as you look at it, I mean, there's one solution, and that is, A, you know, the pilot should have said, hey, not good. But a lot of times in aviation, there's the quick and the dead. And just the little snippets I've seen from the FAA press conference or the NTSB team that's there, their little snippets of press conference, you know, they talked about just before the crash, attempted to pull up and then, you know, and then went down and then hit the hill, which they believe, look, we can't draw any conclusions right now, but other people have said that points to spatial disorientation on the pilot's part. And then, you know, that little data point that the aircraft was not outfitted with a terrain, right, tracking system so that you would get a, you know, terrain or pull up, you know, warning well ahead of getting close to the ground. So, which Kurt was, you know, I would say shocked if I could, in our conversation, he was absolutely shocked that an aircraft that is used to transport quote unquote VIPs is a luxury version of that, does not have that. So, and again, the other thing though that, you know, he mentioned is, you know, to save costs on the company's part, they're single pilots in these things. And he said, you know, that always makes you know, when things start happening fast, it's always good to have a separate set of eyes, a second brain, you know, that helps. And so anyway, and again, if you didn't listen to it, you know, you should go back and listen to it, because, you know, Kurt talks about an aviation incident. He uses this phrase, you know, the Swiss cheese model. And it's all these separate pieces of cheese that have a hole in them. And normally they don't line up. Right? Right. Now, mind you, they're cheese cut from different blocks of Swiss cheese. Okay. They're not consecutive slices, which would have the same hole in them, right? So for all you Swiss cheese experts, but you begin to layer that cheese together, and by coincidence and by mistake, a hole lines up, right? And that's how these things happen. And some people use the term perfect storm, where these, you know, all these random occurrences happen. Yada, yada, yada. So anyway, when there's more information available, I'm sure he'll come on and make us smart. And because, again, if you didn't hear it, I mean, he explains, you know, one thing, I asked him about was, you know, the LA Sheriff's Department and the Los Angeles Police Department weren't flying. And he said, yeah, you know, but honestly, that's not significant, because their mission, he said, their mission is, you know, essentially ground reconnaissance. They're not doing anything air to air. You know, they're up in the sky looking at the ground. So if you can't see the ground, that's significant. If you're moving people, if you're moving packs, as we say in the military, if you're moving packs and, you know, you can take off as a helicopter, right, from a point, you can fly at a certain height, you know, and hit these points, get to, you know, another, you know, airport and drop down at this point, and you can do your work. So he said it's not the same thing. So again, what I enjoy most about having guys like, you know, Kurt on and Joy Perrazzo does it for us on occasion is they kind of, you know, take us into a world that I'm not certainly familiar with, and the technical side of it of aviation. And so so anyway, when he's when there's more information available, he'll come back on and make us smart about it. What else is going on that I need to talk about? I think that's about it. Hold on. In yesterday's post, for those of you that live in Southern California, there is the, at the bottom of it, there is the flyer that has the contact information if you want to attend. So there's a PDF file in yesterday's post when Larry Fennell came on and talked about his career in the Marine Corps, and he talked about his involvement in this Iwo Jima reunion that's going to be held at Camp Pendleton, and it's going to be the last one because of the age of the veterans and the dwindling number. The group has decided that, and they said they had like 400. I want to say the max. They had 400 people attend last year, and they had 30 veterans, you know, attend. And so they said it's just getting too difficult. So your last chance to attend something like this. I've never attended anything like this, so I will be there with bells on. And they're gonna have a firing detail. 105 howitzers gonna be there. So if you're driving down I-5 on Saturday, I think the 15th of February, be careful. Be careful. Right? It's, yeah, the battery that's going to fire, not battery, the firing detail that's going to fire on the heights above Pacific Heights is not repelling a ground assault at Camp Pendleton, just so you know. So don't hit the panic button. Call all your militia buddies and say, it's happening, boys. Get down here to the beach, right? Bring your double-aught buck. Yeah, we're not doing that. All right. Relative to DOD news, not so much today. The Air Force has identified two aviators that were killed in the E-11 Alpha crash in Ghazni province in Afghanistan. One a lieutenant colonel and the other one a captain. The colonel is named Paul Voss and the captain is Ryan Fanuf. When their bombardier E-11 Alpha crashed in Ghazni province. So keep those families in your thoughts and prayers. Poland and Lithuania have added brigades to the U.S. exercise, yeah, near the Russian border. And how excited do you think the Poles and the Lithuanians are to be standing with the Americans near the Russian border, right? They've had the Russians staring at them, and now they're standing there going, yeah, what's up? Come get this shit now, motherfucker. Right? You can imagine, right? All these years in the shadow of that son of a bitch. And now that, you know, the United States, right, rolled back into Eastern Europe, and how excited the Poles and the Lithuanians must be. Dancing in the street excited. Yeah. You want some of this shit now, right? Yeah, because we are, hey, our big brother's here. And you know you don't want to deal with him because you know he'll whip your ass. What? The Russians? Not so much. Remember, economy the size of Canada. Economy the size of Canada. So from Stuttgart, Poland and Lithuania have each agreed to dedicate brigades to a swath of land where U.S. troops have been dispatched to in order to strengthen the Allied defense near Russia. On Wednesday, the two neighbors held their first bilateral defense council meeting to address joint concerns about air defenses, military mobility, and the reinforcement of Poland's Suwalki Gap. Lithuanian's Iron Wolf Brigade. I love that shit, right? Lithuania's Iron Wolf Brigade and Poland's 15th Mechanized Brigade will be linked with NATO's multinational division Northeast as a way to act together in order to protect the Suwalki Gap. Nice. Yeah, I love when we stick it to the Russians. I don't, you know, again, call it my leftover hate from the Cold War. We talked a little bit about it yesterday, but over 200 Americans were airlifted out of China yesterday from the city Wuhan, China, which is at the center of the outbreak of the coronavirus. And so anyway, they arrived at March Air Force Base. So if you've been a member of the 1st Marine Division or 1MAF and you've deployed to Iraq or Afghanistan, yeah, that's right where we fly in and out of. And lay on the concrete for hours waiting to go or waiting. Well, the buses are normally there when we come back, so we don't wait when we come back. So that is in the news. There's a headline, SEAL charged with Green Beret's death was promoted after the incident was ruled a homicide. So this is a story that I've seen in a lot of different media publications. And it coincides with, you know, the special operations community coming out yesterday with a 2 month or I don't know how many months it took them to do, you know, investigation into why are all these things happening. And their conclusion, according to Marine Brigadier General by the name Donovan, is we don't have a systemic problem. But then everything that it comes out of the report says the problem's systemic. So I don't understand the conclusion from the report. Are you going to believe me or your lion eyes? I think I'm going to believe my lion eyes. So anyway, a Navy SEAL charged with murder and other crimes in the 2017 hazing death of a Green Beret in Mali was promoted to chief petty officer even after investigators suspected he was involved in the killing, according to officials and documents. The Navy promoted SEAL Team 6 member Tony DeDolph from petty officer first class just weeks after Army Staff Sergeant Logan Melger died on June 4, 2017, during an incident in which fellow service members said DeDolph placed the Green Beret in a chokehold. DeDolph's trial is about to begin, by the way. Navy records showed DeDolph was officially selected for promotion to E7 in August of 2017. He's scheduled to appear for a pretrial hearing on Thursday, today. His court-martial is expected to begin on March 23rd. So anyway, the special operations community continues to be in the news. And then this crazy story. Stars and Stripes, again, this is the clickbait of the military, right? Airman fabricated kidnapping incident to attempt to get out of the military. Okay, so somebody that would do something like that's in the military, what rank are they, right? You know, PFC, E1, E2, E3. Dateline from my old hometown, Sacramento, California. An airman who told authorities last week he could not remember his own identity after reportedly being found in a ditch in Amador County in California. So Amador County is between Sacramento and the foothills of the Sierra Nevadas, right? So Amador County, I have friends whose grandparents lived up there, beautiful place. They'd go hunting and fishing up there. So rural California between Sacramento and the Sierra Nevadas in the foothills, right? He was in a ditch with a head injury, has been determined to have fabricated the story. The incident started as a John Doe case handled by the Jackson Police Department. Jackson's police and fire departments, in initial social media posts and statements, said an unidentified man was found January 22nd in a ditch off Highway 88 near Pine Grove. The man was transported to a hospital for treatment. The man said he could not recall his name, and authorities said he had no wallet or identifying information. So he gave the Jackson Police Department permission to take his photo and post it online in an effort to have the community remind him. The Jackson Fire Department shared the man's photo on Facebook, where it was widely shared by users. In an update the following morning, the Jackson Police Department announced it had learned the man's identity, hours later revealing the man was a staff sergeant in the United States Air Force by the name of Keith Kiefer. He was an active airman with the United States Air Force, who was previously assigned to Travis Air Force Base, 40 miles southwest of Sacramento. Jackson Police Chief Chris Minderup said later last Thursday that Kiefer was starting to regain his memory, and that he told police he believed he may have been involved in a pretty serious crime in the Sacramento area. He told my folks, this is the police chief, he told my folks, this is like, dude, come on. He told my folks that he was the victim of a kidnapping that took place in Sacramento. He stated he was held there for several days until he claims he was beaten about the head until he lost consciousness. The next thing he remembered, he was coming to in a ditch in our county. He was telling our officers this, and we just kind of figured out the story wasn't adding up. He had no visible injuries, and scans at a hospital did not reveal any evidence that he'd sustained any internal injuries. He was also very clean for being kidnapped, held in a warehouse, and ending up in a ditch. We gave him every opportunity to tell us what was going on, but he said he continued to be untruthful. He's now in the hands of Air Force officials. Staff Sergeant, right? Staff Sergeant, United States Air Force. But again, somebody got issues, right? Somebody got issues. But, you know, that long in your military career, you know, with multiple chances to have gotten out, you don't figure it out and say, yeah, I'm out of here. All right, headlines from Marine Corps Times. One, new Corps formation. Marine Littoral Regiment may now be the Corps' how the Corps fights future battles. Marine Littoral Regiment. I'm with MLR 1. Oh, really? You're with 1st Marine Littoral Regiment? I am. Major changes seem to be coming for the Marine Corps' force structure as a commandant and its top leaders have given a range of new design possibilities. There's reconfiguring the Marine Expeditionary Unit for new types of mission. The ways to change the Marine Air Ground Task Force to better fit the needs of the force. But recently, an entire new formation was mentioned that could cause its own ripples across the force. A Marine Littoral Regiment. Like, this is all being done, this is all being done secretly. I guess. Quote, It's looking at creating the Marine Littoral Regiment and how that's going to resource and help make Expeditionary Advanced Base Operations successful, said General Mark Wise, Deputy Commanding General of Marine Corps Combat Development Command. The term came up in a panel discussion at the Navy Surface Association annual symposium that we know was going on last week, right? All that surface news coming out of that symposium. The Marine Littoral Regiment is a structure that the Marine Corps is looking at to support Expeditionary Advanced Base Operations, the command later confirmed from Marine Corps Times. Quote, the concept is still in its infancy and critical aspects are still being fleshed out on how it would be staffed, organized, used, etc., said Captain Sam Stevenson, spokesman for McCitic. If the past few months of public appearances by Berger and his top generals are any indication, a littoral regiment would likely find itself in the 3MEF force headquartered in Okinawa and consists of small teams of Marines armed with a host of unmanned air, ground, and maritime assets along with long-range fires and air defense system. While details are not available, a regiment is a sizable unit to form in a limited power Marine Corps. In October of 2019, Brigadier General Ben Watson said the Corps was, quote, no longer going to stick to or take an uncompromising position on the sanctity of the MAGTAP. While speaking at the National Defense Industrial Association's Expeditionary Warfare Conference in Annapolis, quote, if what is needed is a piece of the MAGTAP, that is not organized like a MAGTAP, or a capability that the Marine Corps can bring that is not a MAGTAP, then we are not too proud to provide it. And then they quote Mark Cancion, who's you're gonna hear next week. A retired Marine Corps officer, now a senior advisor at CSIS, Center for Strategic and International Studies, shared analysis at the same conference showing no growth for personnel and future Marine budget planning. Quote, coastal defense, cyberspace, Mark Cancion said. They will have to take down existing capabilities to find structure and the space to do that. Berger has said repeatedly, we may have to get smaller, trade some parts we've had for a long time, but are not a good fit for the future. So again, the world waits. The world waits. In an administrative message publicized recently, the Commandant hints at where the best Marines and possibly a new type of regiment could find its home. 3MEF, right? That's out of Okinawa. Quote, commanding generals, commanding officers, senior enlisted leaders, and mentors of every rank should actively mentor and identify our highest quality NCOs, staff NCOs, and officers for duty in the Pacific, Berger wrote on January 14th. So if you don't get signed to the Pacific, that means you're B team. You're not on the A team. You're on the B team. All right. Let's see. Next headline. Special Operations has an entitlement problem. Here's how they intend to fix it. Now, again, this is coming out of a report, right, that has hit the news this week. And the report talks about the culture of Special Operations Command, where from day one, you're special, right? And because you're treated special, because the rules that apply to everybody else don't apply to you, that means you can selectively choose what laws of land warfare that you obey, right? And that none of this military shit really applies to you because you're special, right? And my opinion is you should not be allowed to contract to the soft pipeline in your initial enlistment. All those should be culled out of the best and brightest performers that currently exist in the force. Right, so your SEALs come out of the United States Navy. You've got to go and do your initial enlistment as a bosun mate, or you've got to do it as an aviation mechanic, and then you test into the SEALs. Right, so you show that you can join, you could be a part of it, you can live a disciplined life, and then you get chosen for something else. Let me tell you, the component that's missing, right? I mean, the component that's missing is, right, the character component from our special forces. Somehow or other, that's been kicked to the wayside. Right, so if you can pass the physical stuff, you can be part of that community. And the whole silent part of it, right, the discipline, right, to do the job, right, in the shadows, the integrity to make sure you're not doing the wrong stuff, because you have wider latitude, that seems to have gone by the wayside. But just so you know, it's not a systemic problem. It's not a systemic problem. So I just want to get to breaking the cycle. Actually, you know what? I'm not going to get to that. All right, top five stories in early bird, because I'm already going too long. Top five stories. Number one, U.S. expands troop and fighter presence in Saudi Arabia. U.S. troop presence has grown to roughly 2,500 since last summer, when the U.S. announced it had begun deploying forces to what was once a major U.S. military hub. The return of U.S. forces to Prince Sultan Air Base is one of the more dramatic signs of America's decision to beef up troops in the Middle East in response to threats from Iran. So, again, I mean, I think that's just prudent. You know, you have to send, right, very clear message to Iran that if you fuck around, that we're going to hammer you. And we have the forces in the region to do it, and we are not going to whack your proxies anymore. So you better mind your P's and Q's. Number two, unbelievably ridiculous. Four-star general seeks to clean up the Pentagon's classification process. Now, this has been like, excuse me, the classification process, you know, if you know people involved in it, they look at you and they'll roll their eyes. General John Hayden, vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said Wednesday that he hopes to see significant improvements this year on loosening classification standards in the infamously overclassified Pentagon. Hayden said the process, which has the backing of Defense Secretary Mark Esper and Chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff General Mark Milley, will attempt to make it easier to communicate with industry and the public and internally in the DOD. In many cases in the department, we're just so overclassified, it's ridiculous. Just unbelievably ridiculous, Hayden told an audience at an Air Force Association event. To underline his point, Hayden said that he was head of U.S. Strategic Command. He invited Admiral Harry Harris, then head of U.S. Pacific Command, to a briefing. One so classified that the deputy commanders, both three-star officers, were not allowed to attend. If the only people in the room are four stars, you really can't get any work done, he noted. So, anyway. Yeah, all you three stars, get out of here. We can't trust you with this information. So, that in the news. Number three, 210 U.S. evacuees fleeing China's coronavirus outbreak land in the California desert. I'm sorry, the California Air Reserve Base, right, which is March Air Force Base. So, anyway, they will be screened there, quarantined if necessary, as the world deals with the coronavirus outbreak. Number four, soldier convicted of triple combat murder takes his case, in a triple murder case, takes lawsuit to federal court. Now, why is this happening? Well, whoever this is saw the President of the United States, right? What grant clemency, I think is a technical term of what he did, to guys who were convicted, you know, by military courts of misconduct. I'll use that broad term. A squad leader who was sentenced to life in prison for his role in the murders of three unarmed Afghans a decade ago filed a lawsuit in federal court Tuesday to have his convictions vacated. The lawsuit presents conflicting testimony between the role Staff Sergeant Calvin Gibbs played during the 2009 and 2010 Maiwan District murders and argues that the failure of the defense counsel to present the testimonies violated his constitutional right to a fair trial. Now, what's the purpose of this? The purpose of this is get it in the public eye. Hopefully the president will notice, and even if his motion is denied, that the president will intervene on his behalf. Because what the hell? He's intervened on everybody else's behalf. The crimes were among the most horrendous of the Afghan war, revealing details of body mutilation, pictures of soldiers posing with corpses, and the routine smoking of hashish among Stryker Brigade troops at Forward Operating Base Ramrod in Kandahar. This is the first time their testimonies have been brought to civilian court and out of the military justice system, said John Maher, an attorney representing Gibbs. However, the testimonies conflict with those of many other soldiers close to the incident and Army Appeals Court that heard the testimonies 2 years ago, which upheld Gibbs' conviction. So, yeah, like, none of this will ripple through the UCMJ. Like, pardoning guys that have committed crimes, right, while fighting for the nation, that won't have an impact. Yeah. Let me tell you, if you've been convicted of anything, right, if you've been convicted of anything, you're a fool if you don't take your shit to court again. Get it in the public eye and hope the president sees it on Fox News while he's getting ready to tweet something, and then he says, this is the travesty, and intervenes. Like, you're stupid if you don't do that. Number five, airmen killed in Afghanistan identified. We talked about this earlier. Keep the families of Lieutenant Colonel Paul Voss and Captain Ryan Phaneuf in your prayers. Overseas operation headlines, allies worry as U.S. ponders cutting military forces in Africa. You know, it's amazing, right? France, the Netherlands, right? Don't want to do their fair share, right? But when the United States says, you know what, we can't be everywhere, right? And so we may have to limit this. Oh, wait a minute, you can't do that. Well, wait a minute, why not? Why don't you increase? And these are all nations that struggle to meet their NATO defense, you know, spending goals, right? The American taxpayer shouldn't have to defend the free world. We should have plenty of help, just like this thing with in Korea. That's the next headline. Korean employees at U.S. bases there could be furloughed in April without cost-sharing agreement, right? So the United States is there to guarantee the freedom of the South Koreans, but they don't want to bear more of the burden. And again, we've had presidents for decades, you know, say, oh, yeah, we need to address that. And they never do. The South Korean economy is a huge economy, bigger than the Russian economy. Right? They can bear a more substantial burden, and they should bear a more substantial burden. Anyway, so again, this whole, and again, I think that's one thing, you know, Donald Trump, you know, is an interesting dude, right? But let me tell you, he has made some incredible, you know, breakthroughs. Right? The new NAFTA agreement is going to be good for the American worker and the American producer, right? And the American economy. The deal with China, if the Chinese follow through, right, is going to be good for the American farmer and the American manufacturer. And now the president says he's called out the European Union and said, hey, wait a minute. You tax the shit out of our vehicles coming to you. We don't do the same thing. So we're going to treat you as you treat us. And what he's doing is he's opening, right? He's opening jobs for people. And not, you know, and again, I don't want to badmouth service-related jobs, but, you know, he's opening jobs that support families. And so that's a big deal. That's a big deal. And so, you know, again, I would not raise my kids to say follow him as a human being. But let me tell you, as the president, right, I don't think he's any different than a whole bunch of them in terms of, right, admit nothing, deny everything, make counter accusations. But there's no doubt what he's done for the nation, right? What he's done for the defense community, right? If you look at what's going on the southern border, not so much in the news anymore, is it? What's going on? If, you know, stood up to China, now we have an agreement, we'll see. Right? Renegotiated NAFTA, something that said, oh, you can't do that, nothing will ever happen. So anyway, I'm not his greatest fan, but let me tell you, I think one of the things I don't, you know, run from here is the truth. All right, next headline. Bean counters, not bullets, are the key to Afghanistan's future. Interesting. This is by Todd South. The first line of defense is what follows any potential peace deal in Afghanistan. And it isn't likely to be grunts on patrol, but soldiers who monitor the billions of dollars spent on projects aimed at holding the war-torn country together. But a near blackout of information on the effectiveness of U.S. programs in Afghanistan is threatening to increase waste, fraud, and abuse and malfeasance on projects intended to help the country when U.S. troops ultimately leave, John Sopko, Special Inspector General for Afghan Reconstruction, told members of the House Oversight and Reform Committee on Tuesday. Can the Afghan military fight? Well, you don't know because they took all of the metrics for success away, and now we don't know. Sopko cautioned that without critical planning and oversight, any progress post-peace deal would be unlikely. As the number of troops are reduced, so is the number of people who oversee programs. Quote, otherwise, you might as well pile up all the dollars and euros in Massoud Circle in downtown Kabul and burn them for all the good they'll do. Wow. Official estimates show that since 2002, the United States has spent $780 billion on combat operations and $137 billion on reconstruction efforts. Add that all together, sports fan. That's $900 billion with a B. Yeah. So he's been pretty high visibility in his criticism of the war, of the way the war is being managed, if you will, the metrics that aren't being provided, and ultimately what that means. So, again, we shall see. We shall see. If you didn't see, there's another kind of interesting headline, is that we dropped more bombs in Afghanistan last year than we have in many years. Many years. One more story. Just a headline. U.S. military deaths from aviation mishaps plummeted to a five-year low in 2019. So that's good news. That's good news. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, you're going to hear General Paul K. Van Riper. Then you're going to hear General Mattis, and then you're going to hear General Zinni, all talking about discipline. So on Discipline Day. So whatever you do, do not touch that dial. More of this fine program on Thursday. Coming up next, right here on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.